It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Since July, the Montgomery County Register of Wills, D. Bruce Haynes, has been issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. More than 100 gay and lesbian couples have received marriage licenses from Haynes. This week, the Pennsylvania Health Department is bringing the municipal clerk to court. As the hearings begin, constitutional law professor Jules Lobel at the University of Pittsburgh School of Law gives us a look at the legality of these licenses and what it all means for the standing of Pennsylvania's ban on same-sex marriages. Professor Lobel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Is there a precedence of a municipality taking a different approach from the state in this way?
Well, there are two precedents that I know of. One is in San Francisco, when this whole same-sex marriage agitation in California was started by the San Francisco mayor ordering the city of San Francisco to begin to issue same-sex marriage licenses. That was eventually struck down by the court, which then led to the court looking at the constitutionality of the same-sex marriage ban and reversing the statewide ban, which eventually led to Proposition 8, which eventually led to the Supreme Court case last month. But the other example is in New Mexico, where a number of clerks of court in New Mexico have issued same-sex marriage licenses, I think including Albuquerque. And I actually have a friend who just got married in Albuquerque based on the clerk's decision. It's also going up to the courts, and the courts will decide whether what they've done is proper under New Mexican law.
So the question then is, are these couples right now legally married?
Well, as of right now, they are legally married because the official who is in charge of giving them marriage licenses has given them one. That marriage license might be struck down, and therefore they wouldn't be legally married at some time in the future. But as of right now, they are.
Could these licenses be valid in other states?
And I think they could be valid in other states as of right now. Again, I think this whole thing will have to be resolved eventually by the courts, both in Pennsylvania and the federal courts. But as of now, I think a valid marriage license has been issued.
Now, in Pennsylvania, you have a situation where the Department of Health is suing because the Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, has said that, as far as she's concerned, the Defense of Marriage Act in Pennsylvania is unconstitutional and she cannot see a way to defend it. But does the Department of Health have standing to sue?
Yeah, I think there are serious questions as to whether the Department of Health has standing to sue. This is, at least on its face, appears to be a violation of state law. But the entity in the state that has the authority to enforce state law is the Attorney General. The Health Department doesn't have the authority generally to enforce state law unless it's within its explicit bailiwick. So, for example, if some restaurant is violating state law, I assume that the Health Department, which oversees these restaurants, can sue. If the police stop issuing tickets to people who are driving too fast on the Pennsylvania Turnpike, I don't see why the Health Department could come in and sue the police and say, you're not enforcing the law. The Health Department really has no jurisdiction over that issue. So I think it raises an interesting question of whether the Health Department is the appropriate agency to sue here.
We're talking with Jules Lobel, a constitutional law professor at the University of Pittsburgh, here on Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. As we look at this case playing out, what are the potential arguments that we will be hearing starting today?
Well, I think there'll be a lot of procedural arguments, which have to do with whether the Health Department is standing, whether they've sued in the right court. They've sued in Commonwealth Court. The question is whether Commonwealth Court is appropriate or whether they should have sued in Supreme Court. I think those technical arguments are really not at the heart of the issue. The heart of the issue is the clerk says that the state law is unconstitutional, and he's backed in that view by the state attorney general. And presumably, one of the points of this whole thing is to get a state ruling by the state highest court in the state Supreme Court eventually, as to whether the state statute, which only permits marriage between a man and a woman is unconstitutional under federal law. I assume the argument that the clerk is going to make is that he, like any other elected official, takes an oath of office. The oath of office is to not only follow state law, but also to follow federal law, federal constitution, because the federal constitution is supreme over state law. And the state constitution is also supreme over state law. And if he believes in good faith that the federal constitution is being violated here, the question is, what is he supposed to do? And I think that raises a very interesting issue of to what extent lower-level officials or lower-level courts can decide on their own that a state statute is unconstitutional and refuse to enforce it.
What about county jurisdiction here? Montgomery County is firmly behind Mr. Haynes in this case. Where does that come into play?
Well, Montgomery County is, like all other counties, subservient to state law. Montgomery County cannot disregard state law. But Montgomery County's argument here is that the state law itself conflicts with the state constitution and with the federal constitution. So the county is therefore arguing that it can follow the federal constitution and not the state law. And the question is whether a county has the right to make that determination. Generally, we don't want our elected officials to simply not follow state law when the because they say higher law or the Constitution doesn't allow me to do that. But there are cases where a county official or a county itself has to decide whether their oath of obligation to the Constitution takes precedence over, you know, state law which would violate it. For example, what if some county official in Montgomery County or in Pittsburgh in 1960 was met with the situation where a black man and a white woman wanted to marry? And let's say the law at that time, which it wasn't true in Pittsburgh, but it was in Virginia, didn't allow blacks and whites to marry. Could they nonetheless give them a marriage license saying under Brown versus Board of Education, segregation and, in our view, these miscegenation laws are unconstitutional? At the time, the Supreme Court had not clearly held that, but they clearly were going to hold that. I think that a clerk in that situation could follow their moral and conscience and their constitutional obligation, as opposed to state law, which clearly was on the way out.
When it comes to federal law, what about federal entities like the IRS? When it comes to these couples using their license in a case of filing their taxes or for health benefits, will it be honored by federal entities, by the federal government?
Well, I would, you know, I obviously can't speak for the IRS. It's the most I can do is file my own taxes, and I'm not a tax professor. But what I think what would happen here is the IRS would say, were they validly married in Pennsylvania? And here, the clerk who is in charge of doing that has given them a license. So at least until that license has been held to be null and void by the Pennsylvania courts, I think that the IRS should honor that, honor now that the Defense of Marriage Act was struck down and the federal government can't discriminate. As long as there is an extant valid marriage license, I think they have to give them the benefits of the IRS rules on marriage.
Another aspect of this case is the state opposing the participation of same-sex couples. It says that the gay and lesbian couples should file their own lawsuits or wait to see what happens with a federal challenge to the state's marriage law, that they should not be involved in this particular case as defendants. What's your view on that?
Yeah, it seems to me like that the state, that the individuals who were married clearly have standing. They clearly will be harmed if these licenses are ruled to be null and void. And therefore, they should be granted intervener status in this situation. They have, in a way, more standing or greater harm than the state health department. I would hope that the court did grant them intervener status. You know, it's true they could sue in federal court, and they could also sue in state court. But what I think is happening here is that the Montgomery County clerk and Montgomery County generally is attempting to get some kind of court ruling on state law, on whether the state law violates the Constitution. The ACLU has gone to federal court, but if the state courts were to rule that the state law is unconstitutional under the state constitution, that would obviate the need for federal intervention.
In your opinion, as a legal expert, do you see this particular point in time, in not just in Pennsylvania, but in the United States, as one where there seems to be a movement and a building of momentum for the changing of the law when it comes to same-sex marriage in states that do not allow it?
The law is clearly going to change. Whether it's going to change in 2 or 3 years or 5 years or 10 years, that's the momentum of history. That's the arc of history here, as Martin Luther King would have said. And the only question is whether Pennsylvania, which at this point is the only state in the Northeast which does not recognize same-sex marriage, whether it tries to get ahead of the curve, or at least following the curve of the arc of history, or whether it really is a holdout. Because the Supreme Court, in its decisions this last term, while it didn't rule that every state has to allow for same-sex marriage, it made it clear that the momentum in the court and the feeling in the court, particularly Justice Kennedy, who's the key swing vote on this, made it clear that gay marriage is coming to the United States at some point or another. And hopefully, I think what he's doing is hoping that many states will recognize it on their own, and that the court will only have to recognize it once, instead of 10 states recognizing it, 40 states will recognize it, and they'll be on stronger ground. But that seems to be what's happening.
Which way do you see this case going?
I think the Montgomery County clerk has done reflects an increasing movement in Pennsylvania to recognize same-sex marriage. I don't know what this court will do, but I do think that same-sex marriage is on the horizon in Pennsylvania, maybe through the courts, maybe through federal court, or through state court, or through the legislature, sometime in the next few years.
Jules Lobel is a constitutional law professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Law, joining us to talk about the case getting underway, challenging Pennsylvania's ban on same-sex marriage. Professor Lobel, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thank you so much for joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up, how are colleges meeting the need for more mental health professionals on campus? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.